Today on Real Radio.
Grace is given to the soldier and to the Christian to see him through the fight, to see him through the battle in the war. He says in verse 2, "And these things that you have heard from me." Now, if grace is so important, and it is, if it's our responsibility to recognize and to have it as our strength, we also need to realize that it's our source. Paul is living out an example before Timothy. Grace is our source.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the two letters written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. We're in a mini-series taken from 2 Timothy, and in fact we're looking at chapter 2, where Paul continues to encourage his son in the faith using military analogies, even going so far as to tell Timothy to be a good soldier for the Messiah. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs continuing in his mini-series called The Disciplined Soldier.
Did you get bummed out this week in your Christian existence, your performance? In all reality, you shouldn't have, because Paul says in Romans 7:18, "In me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing." Let me put it like this. Did you have great expectations of maybe winning the world over? What about sharing with your boss and you blew it and now you're disappointed and bummed? Don't trust in your flesh. It's by grace, you see. It's by grace that you have the opportunity to share with somebody. It's by grace that you are able to come here this morning. It will be by grace that you enter into the kingdom of heaven. It will be by grace that you understand this message. It will be by grace that I deliver it to you. It's all by grace. Unearned favor. You got saved because of God giving you the unearned favor of his love and his attention. You cannot earn grace. You cannot buy grace. We need to stop becoming disappointed and discouraged, because we need to trust in his grace. And every time, now I'm talking to myself, because I experienced the greatest lows of disappointment. When I get disappointed and bummed out, every time I'm down because of a breach in my walk, it's because I was trusting in myself to do better. Isn't that right? Maybe I'll do better next time. I do that with the messages all the time. Maybe I'll do better next time. And God convicted me so much. It's by grace, Jack. You study to show yourself approved unto God, and the rest is my business. And it is for you. Oh, maybe I'll do better next time. No. Oh, Lord, give me your grace. And pick up the pieces and go. We need to stop flogging ourselves. Now, the other thing, after recognizing, the next thing we need to do is realize that grace is our strength. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we need to realize, first of all, that there are armaments and there's equipment that we can use against the enemy. And there's things that we cannot do. We are very limited as Christians. Recognize that God is your strength, absolute strength. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:9-11, he says, "For I am the least among the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church." But, you see, he almost went into the flogging mode. I'm not worthy to be an apostle. I'm not worthy to be a Christian. But, all of a sudden his heart turns upward and he goes, "But, wait a minute, wait. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain, but I labored the more abundantly, yet not I, but the grace of God which is in me." Therefore, what? Therefore, what? Therefore, because of the grace that's working in us as believers, he says in verse 11, therefore, whether it was I or they who preached, you believed. It doesn't matter. It's by grace. I used to persecute the church. How many of us this morning used to persecute the church? Stupid Christians. Oh, here comes some more Jesus freaks. This guy shared the gospel with me. I was probably a sophomore in high school, down at the beach, Huntington Beach Pier. And the guy had a sandwich board sign on with one of those electric megaphone things. Attention, sirs. Jesus is coming. The guy was announcing it all over the beach. And I thought the guy was gone after a while. And I grabbed my money to go get a chili dog there by the pier. And this guy comes up and, attention, sirs. Right in my face. Gosh, what is that? And I was so embarrassed. I go, man, you're a weirdo, man. You're a crazy guy. Hey, that guy was out there preaching the gospel. His methods may have been a little bizarre for us. This has nothing to do with it, but Dwight L. Moody, when he was first preaching, he stood on the streets of Chicago, and he believed that if he preached really loud, that a lot of people would be converted. So maybe this guy had a megaphone, thinking a lot of people would come forward. I don't know. But I didn't. I slammed the guy. And you can get swallowed up in your rejection and your past and in your failures and in what happened on your way to church this morning and wind up just negating yourself right out of the Christian walk because of discouragement. And Paul says, but I am what I am by the grace of God, and grace is going to see me through. It's Paul's strength. It's your strength in ministry. There's a war that we're fighting in. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Isn't that precious? That we may find help and mercy in time of need. Grace to help in time of need. When's the last time you tapped into God's grace? When's the last time you blew it? When's the last time in your ministry you said to yourself, but I'm going to let grace cover this. Can you imagine, Christian, if you'll do that, the freedom that's available to you? Jack, you didn't return those 10 phone calls today. I did my best. Lord, grace it. Tomorrow's another day. I didn't study as long as I had available, or I studied too much. I'm confused. Too much learning has made me mad. That's the way I feel this morning. I'm confessing right now. Oh, God, what am I going to do? I left 16 pages of notes back in my office this morning. 16 pages. Oh, God, what am I going to do? I can't remember if this verse goes here, and what about that? And that, it really spoke to me yesterday, but today's today, and it doesn't seem to be that big of a deal to me. And, oh, no, Lord, help me. God goes, hey, little wooden head. It's grace. Remember, you're talking about grace. Now shut up and get out there. You guys are worshiping the Lord. I'm going, oh, God, oh, God. Now, don't tell anybody this. Nobody will ever come to this church if we tell them this kind of stuff. And God says, it's by grace, man. And we as ministers, you as ministers, it will be done by grace in the midst of a warfare. I commend to you a book that is definitely scholarly. But if you buy it, and if Jesus doesn't come back for the next 25 years, you might get through the book. It's about 3 inches thick. It's called The Christian in Complete Armor by William Grinnell. You ought to write this down if you're a serious student of the Word. Oh, I'll write that down. It was written in 1662. It's an awesome treaty on the Christian in warfare. And listen to what he says. How should this warfare make the Christian feel? The Christian ought to long to go home to be with the Lord, where there is none of this stir and scuffle. It is strange that every hour to the Christian warrior seems like a day, and every day seems like a year, until the sound of that joyful retreat is announced and calls us off the battlefield, where the bullets fly so thick, and thou art pressed in the fight for thy life against your enemy. To come to court where the swords are no longer there, but palms, I assume that's palm branches, are in the hands of the saints, not drums, but harps, not groanings from bleeding and torn soldiers and wounded conscience, but sweet, ravishing worship is heard of triumphal victors, caroling the praises of God and the Lamb through whom they were overcomers. Isn't that beautiful? That is absolutely the story. We are fighting in this Christian experience. Well, wait a minute, Jack. Where's all the grace? Ah, that's the key, Christian. I had the awesome opportunity a couple weeks ago to speak with a brother after a service. He met me in the parking lot and he wanted to give his heart to Jesus Christ. And he had tears flowing down his face. Big, gnarly, macho-looking man. And he came up there and he grabbed my hand. And he says, I need to get my life right. And we shared the gospel and he accepted Jesus in the parking lot. And I gave him my home phone number and a couple hours, he called me at home and he said, you know what? Pray with me, man. My wife left a note and it hurts and I don't know if our marriage can endure this. I've been a bozo. And I asked if his wife was saved, and he said, no, she hasn't given her heart to the Lord. And I told him about being an example to her and pray. We'll pray right now. And we prayed. And it was a radical blessing of mine to be able to meet with them last week. And I was talking to this beautiful girl about their relationship, and I had him step out, and all of a sudden it just dawned on me, I had to ask her if she's saved, if she's born again. And she wasn't. And she really wasn't sure what the gospel was. She didn't really quite know who Jesus was. And I shared her, isn't that amazing in America? I shared with her about Jesus. And she cried and she gave her heart to the Lord. And I called him, hey, come here. Comes on in. They hug each other and the Lord's working. How are they going to make it? How can years of a marriage that's upset make it? How can two people who are lost make it? By grace. There's no other way. It's by the grace of God. He changes lives by his grace. The warfare is hard. It is difficult. But God gives grace to the Christian. Why? So he can sit on his fanny and be slothful? No. Grace is given to the soldier and to the Christian to see him through the fight, to see him through the battle. In the war. He says in verse 2, and these things that you have heard from me. Now, if grace is so important, and it is, if it's our responsibility to recognize and to have it as our strength, we also need to realize that it's our source. Paul is living out an example before Timothy. Grace is our source. In Acts chapter 20, verses 22 to 24, Paul says, listen to this. And see now, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that await me there, except this, that the Holy Spirit is testifying in every city that I go to, saying that chains and tribulations, imprisonment awaits me. Listen to what he says. Now, what if you were preaching this morning? What if you were sitting here this morning and a friend looks over and says, thus saith the Lord, brother, when you go into Encino tomorrow, you'll be arrested and beaten for Jesus' sake. Forget it, man. I ain't going in. Hello, boss. I'm feeling sick. We wouldn't go in. Paul says the Holy Spirit in every city that I go to is telling me that I'm going to be arrested and beat up. And look what he says in verse 24 of Acts 20. But none of these things move me. Big deal. Now look. It wasn't some crackpot telling Paul, hey, you're going to get beat up. It was the Holy Spirit telling Paul, you're going to get knocked out. And Paul says, Holy Spirit, I love you. But none of these things move me. He's valiant. None of these things move me. I don't count my life as something dear so that I may finish the race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus Christ to testify of the gospel of grace. The gospel of grace. I don't care if I get beat up. I'm going to proclaim the gospel of grace, is Paul's attitude. That's an example for Timothy to follow. Paul says, these things that you've heard from me and among witnesses. Hey, Timothy has seen the example. And then really, grace is our security. How can Paul act like this? Now listen, power, grace is definitely a source for power in our Christian walk. Good, we need it. It's also grace responsible for strength in our Christian existence. Excellent. But the capstone of our ministry, the capstone of our lives, the capstone of power and strength as a Christian ought to be grace in salvation. We're secure in Christ because we are saved. How do we know? Because the grace of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. Our hearts have been enlarged by grace. Now, if you're legalistic this morning, this is making you sick to your stomach. I was messed up in Mormonism. This stuff, you wouldn't mention the word grace. I covet grace now. Grace. It's my security of my salvation. How do I know that? The Bible says it's unearned favor. So, the Bible says I can't earn my way to heaven. It's a gift. It's free. In Romans chapter 5, verse 2, the Bible says, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope. What is our hope? Salvation. What's he saying? It's the grace that will get us through. It's the grace that's the capstone of our Christian existence and the way of security. Now, we ought to listen up, people, because Paul the Apostle, how about Saul, the persecutor, who was Mr. Legalism? We're talking about the most legalistic man that ever lived, being the number one promoter of grace in the Bible. Isn't that interesting? He speaks from experience. We need to remember that. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, even when we were dead in our sins, he made us alive together in Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Are you saved? The Bible says you have been saved if you're trusting in Christ. What about Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9? For by grace you have been saved through faith. And it's not of works of yourself. It's a gift of God so that no one can boast. Can't brag about it. It's a free gift. And by the way, people, this grace in our salvation experience, that's how we are overcomers with sin, as we fight with sin. Listen, the Bible tells us in Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What does that mean? That word dominion in Romans 6, it means lordship. You have exchanged the lordship of sin for the lordship of Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Are you bound in legalism this morning? Then you need to get saved. They're mutually exclusive. If you're trying to work your way to heaven, you'll never make it. You've got to receive the free gift. And by the way, those of us who are saved, sin dogs at our heels and nips at us. What do we do about it? Fall down and let it eat us up? No, sin shall not have dominion over you. It is not your Lord anymore. Jesus is your Lord. Jesus said himself, you cannot serve two masters. You will either bow to the one and serve the other, or you'll serve the other and bow to the one. Jesus must be the Lord of your life, not legalism, not your own works and your performance. It's Christ who's done it. He saved you, and it is the key to your Christian growth, grace. How can I say that? Because grace gives you time to grow. It's not some crash course. I had a woman last week tell me after Wednesday night service, she goes, gosh, you know, I look around at these people and I know them and they've like taken off in their Christianity and here I am. Doop, 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 doop. And I feel like I'm a loser. And I said, look at you. You got a Bible in your hand. 6 months ago, you walked in here without a Bible. You got a little notebook. You're learning. You are looking at other people who are following Jesus Christ, and you're saying, how come I can't be like that? And I said, you are exactly like them. Because they were talking to me the week before saying, how come they can't be like this person? And we're all on this wonderful train going into grace, into heaven. None of us have arrived. None of us shall arrive until you breathe your last breath and awake in heaven. That's when you'll arrive. 2 Peter 2:18 says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory forever. How can you give him glory? Knowing that grace is there for you to grow. Bible study upon Bible study, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little, line upon line, growing up into a mature man or woman in Christ. Give your life some grace. It's going to take time, Christian. You're not going to be perfect in this lifetime. But he says there in verse 2, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. I'm not too hip on hand-me-downs, though I've worn many of them, and I've had many a hand-me-down. This is the kind of hand-me-down you want. Paul says, you've seen it in me, pal? You've heard me talk about it? Do it. I'm passing this down to you, Timothy, and Timothy, hand it on to faithful men. Hand it down. The Bible tells us in Psalm 145:4, one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Handing them down by example. Commit these things to faithful men. Now the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 4, let a man so consider us as servants of Jesus Christ, as stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it should be required in servants that a man be found faithful. Who are these faithful men? In Jeremiah 3:15, the Bible tells us, God speaking to Jeremiah, he says, I will give you shepherds, pastors according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and with understanding. Pass it down to faithful men who want to give the sheep understanding and knowledge. And you might say, well, I'll never be that kind of a man. Be careful. Amos said that. Amos said in Amos chapter 7, he said, I was no prophet, nor was I a son of a prophet, but I was a herdsman and a tender of a sycamore fruit or a fig picker. Hey man, I was a herdsman and a fig picker. I'm no prophet, Amos said, but listen. Then the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and he said to me, go and speak to my people. You might be an accountant, a construction worker, and as you're following the flock, God spoke to Amos. Oh, I want to be pastor. Then take out the trash.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a look at the first 7 verses of 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's a presentation called The Disciplined Soldier, and we'll continue with more of this mini-series on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, we are making available this series through 1 and 2 Timothy, all on one convenient MP3 CD. For your tax-deductible contribution of any amount to Real Radio, we'll send it your way. Now, to get in touch with us here at Real Radio, our phone number, which is toll-free, is 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send your gift online. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, or write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.